The following audio is from White River Christian Church. More information about White River is available on the WRCC mobile app or at wrcc.org.
Well, Happy New Year. Thank you. One of the many reasons I love New Year's is because it's really a time of reflection. It's kind of natural for that to be the case, that we pause and reflect on the year in the past and look forward to the year to come. And so I'm grateful for that. And I'm actually here at White River, we're going to be doing some of that. We're going to be pausing and reflecting on some very good questions that sometimes I think we just assume. And so we're going to be jumping in this new series, Did You Know? Did you know? And we're going to be asking questions with great implications, not only for the church, but for you, really for anybody. Today I'm just going to pause and ask for God to give us wisdom as we engage today. So would you pray with me? God, we thank you and know that your word tells us that if we ask for wisdom, God, you will give it to us. And we pray that as we open your words and ask some questions today that maybe we've gone too long assuming the answers to, that you would speak to our hearts and speak in a powerful way through your living words today. We pray in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, the question that I think is assumed too often in church is simply this. Did you know why we read the Bible? Why do we choose this book? Why do we read this? And I know you are obviously in a worship service with fellow believers, with others, and you would expect to hear someone from up front, like myself, a pastor, to say, we should read the Bible and open your Bible today. Even your presence here demonstrates that you care probably on some level what the Bible says. You probably think it's a good idea, but why? Why is that a good idea? Why do we read it? Why do we study it? Why do we preach it? So today I'm just going to cut to the chase. We're going to be in the book of Deuteronomy, and it claims something that I think we don't think about too often, and it is quite simply this. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 20, it says that this book is the key to life. Deuteronomy 30. 20 says that so clearly. This is the key to your life. Not just an important book, not just a helpful book or a good book, but it is the key to your life. So I want to get you guys awake. I want you guys to make sure that you're with me here. So I want to know who brought your keys today. I'm sure you drove here. So who brought your keys? I want to hear them out there. You guys bring your keys. There's no kickoff today. Colts won last night, but you guys brought your keys. How many of you brought your phones? I see a lot of phones. All right. You brought your keys, you brought your phones. How many of you brought your Bible today? I see more phones. Okay, that's what I was expecting. I'm one step ahead of you here. Okay, you use your phone. The problem is, your phone is probably smarter than you want it to be. Your phone is most likely a smartphone, and I'm just going to let it be our accountability partner here today for a moment. I don't know if you know this, but you can go into your settings. You can go under settings, iPhone, Android, whatever you have, settings, and you click on the battery. There's a green battery, and you can check it, and it will tell you how much time you've spent on specific apps. Did you know this? Well, so I will get the plank of wood out of my own eye here today and not cast the stones on you. I wanted to show you a picture, a screenshot of my phone on New Year's Day. And just check that out there. That's my phone. So you see the Bible there is on there. It's in the top 10 of the pastor's app usage. But you can check it. It tells you. It's very smart. And thankfully, I hope that you're encouraged that I also use the paper copy of the scriptures, not just the one on my phone today. But I want you to hear me. There's no shame No guilt, because I don't think that motivates us properly. I don't think that does us a whole lot of good. I really just want to get your attention. That so many of us leave our homes with our keys to our homes, the keys to our cars, our phones. We would never, ever leave without those items. But so often we have left for the day without consulting the key to our life. And at White River, we believe so firmly that this is God's word and that it is exactly as the Bible describes it. It's self-assessment that we believe it is the key to life. We believe with all of our heart that it is without error, that you will not find an error in the scriptures, in the original manuscripts as they were given, the actual thing that Paul wrote, or Moses, or Isaiah, or David, that those were free from all error. And what you are holding in your hand, whether that's in your phone or in this paper copy, that we believe that these English translations are at least 99%, if not higher, accurate reflections of exactly what God communicated through Moses and John and Peter and others. We believe this is a living document that the Holy Spirit actively speaks through it today to you and to me. It's not just a dusty old book, even though it certainly is an old document. But it is living and it is active. It is like a sword in that it convicts us actively. It challenges us currently. It motivates us. It comforts us and it protects us when we read it and live by it. And so these are important words, and we believe it is the key to our lives. And if it is the key to our life, how we engage it or how we choose not to engage it matters. It matters. It not only affects our day if we do or don't read the scriptures on a given day, but it changes the trajectory of our entire lives. I really believe that. And so what I'm suggesting today, how we engage God's word, is very simple. Now, I think we should engage God's word, as Deuteronomy says, just as if our lives depended on it. That we should engage it just like our life depended on it. And maybe you're like me. I can't think of too many occasions, really any, where I was in a situation where my life depended on something. I've never gone to war or done anything like that. I've never done anything where my life depended on it. But I can think of times where it felt like my life was on the line. I know in high school, I played high school athletics and I played baseball. And our baseball coach was an old school guy, really wanted our team to be conditioned really well. And I remember many times feeling like my life was on the line, because at the end of practice, hard practice, he would say, "All right, one more Sweet 16. And that was like the worst thing that you could hear. And a Sweet 16 is the width of a basketball court. And you had to do it 16 times in under a minute after you're already tired. And if you couldn't do it, you had to do it again. And I'm a big guy. I've always been a big guy. It's not a pretty sight to watch me run. And I had a hard time making that. But man, I would run as if my life depended on it, because I felt like my heart was going to stop. Don't often read the scriptures with that kind of intensity. I don't. I can come up with 1,000 reasons not to read the scriptures. And for me, the consistent excuses are very kind of, they're actually really simple. Like many of you, I think often, I'm just too busy. I've got too many things going on in my life. I've got too much stuff today to accomplish to read this book. I've got so much going on. I've got one kid that's up super early and one kid that doesn't want to go to bed. And they're always interrupting me, which is great. And interruptions here or there with all kinds of things that are going on in our lives. And I think I'm too busy. And the other thing that I think I really think sometimes in my heart of hearts is, I think I can handle my life. If I'm really honest, I think I'm prideful, and I think that I already know what I want to do today. I already have this list of stuff that I need to accomplish. I already know what I should be doing and what I shouldn't be doing. And so I assume I know what God has for me today. And I think I've already got my plan. Maybe for you, maybe you question and you think, I don't know if this is really God's word. Could it really be from God? And like I said, we think there are tons and tons of reasons to believe that. And this morning, we're not going to hit that question directly, but we hope to through Alpha, through other ways. I'd love to talk with you if you have some serious questions about why can we really believe this is God's word? But maybe that's why you don't pick it up. Or maybe you think, I've tried this before. You know, it's January. I've done this before. I've made a commitment to read the scriptures on a given year. I'm going to do better this year. And you tried it and you just kind of felt like it's really not that relevant when you've tried to read it. Or maybe you have questions and you think, when I read it, I just have questions that don't seem to have good answers. And you think, I just don't really want to continue to read it. Well, any of us could come up with tons of reasons not to engage it. But when we look in Deuteronomy, we're going to see two very simple reasons why we should, as if our lives depend on it. And so go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. It's the fifth book of the Bible. If you're not already there, get your keys out today and go there, and we will find these two reasons. And we're going to begin in verse 11. And it says this, this command I am giving you today is not too difficult for you to understand. It's not beyond your reach. It's not kept in heaven so distant that you must ask, who will go up to heaven and bring it down so we can hear it and obey? It's not kept beyond the sea so far away that you must ask, who will cross the sea to bring it to us so that we can hear it and obey? No, the message is very close at hand. It's on your lips. It's on your heart so that you can obey it. It's very clear to me that the scriptures claim, and God wants you to know, that his words to you and to me are at the very heart accessible. It is so accessible. And this is God saying this through the person Moses to the people of Israel who didn't have hard copies of the scriptures. He's saying, these words, my words, I want you to know, that's not too difficult for you to understand. It's not beyond your reach. It's not kept in heaven. It's actually here. I've spoken to you and you have it. It's in your hands. It's not somewhere really far across the sea. It is near and it is with you. And I think that is so true. Even though the people of Israel, they didn't have the printing press and they didn't have a phone in their pocket with constant access to God's word. But even to them, he was saying, you have it. You have it. I've given it to you. I've spoken to you and you have access to my words. You have it. And when I think about it, and I know I'm probably not a good test case of this, but think about how many physical copies of the scriptures that maybe you have in your home or that you have access to. I'm probably not the right person because my wife says that I have a compulsive issue collecting Bibles. And I know I have over a dozen Bibles. But just think about it. I'm sure you probably have access to at least two, probably four or five, somewhere in your home, I would think. I know there's stacks of them outside of these doors that you have access to and you can take. We have access to those. You have access to every time you go online. You can look it up. All the scriptures are there. It's in the World Wide Web, all around you right now. It's there. You can listen to it. It's on your phone. You have it. It is right there. It's more accessible than it could ever be in history. It is right there at our fingertips. And think about how awesome that is. Because the consistent message of Scripture is that this is the very words of God. The very words of our Creator. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16, a very familiar passage, says that in verse 16, all scripture, every part of it is inspired by God. Literally, it's breathed out by God. It's his breath. It's his words. All of it is breathed out by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. It's the very words of God. We have access to it right at our fingertips. It's there waiting for us to engage. And I think how quickly and frequently I just dismiss that these are the words of the Creator of heaven and earth. I have access to this. And I think about how I treat some other words that are of less importance and how I've treated them. I think about when I was pursuing my wife, Katie. And this was back in the dark ages, pre-texting. And there was this thing, AOL Instant Messenger. I don't know if you remember that. But we would chat back and forth in college. And I remember just hanging on all of those words, trying to interpret it and read and reread. Like, does she send everyone a little heart? You know, like that kind of thing. And I just studied that. Like, maybe that's special for me. And I studied it and I treasured it. This is God's word to you. Some say it's God's love letter to us. Some say that this good book, or the good book, is a good book. Some say the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, it's the book for me. All those things are wonderful and true. But more than all of it, we need to understand the Creator of heaven and earth, who created you, has something to say, and you have access to it right in your hands. And then in Deuteronomy 30, it leads us, okay, so we have access to it. And that means something very simple to God and to Moses here. Verse 15, he says, now listen, since we have access, listen. Today, not yesterday, not tomorrow, today, I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to keep his commands, his decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. And if you do this, you will live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are about to enter and occupy. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you're drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long and good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Today, again, he says the same thing, verse 19, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. And now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. So if we have access to it, and it is at our fingertips, it is clear that we have a choice. All of us have a choice to make today. He repeats it and he says it again, and we'll get to it in verse 20. Three times that you have a choice. You have an actual choice every day. Are you going to engage it? Are you going to read it? And I know it's super easy to take someone else's words for it. It's easy to be impressed at what a preacher says, what a devotional says, what a friend says, what your spouse says, what someone else says that they have learned or are reading in God's word. But there is no substitute, none, for you reading it yourself and engaging God on your terms, because he has something to say to you. Now, when I read this passage, I notice something is missing that I really think is there sometimes. Well, now I know that I have access to God's word. I know that. But sometimes I think, well, it's not always, yes, I'm going to read it, and no. Isn't there a third choice, like later? Later seems to be a choice, but that is not the case here. We think that maybe we can get away from not making a choice, but that isn't how it works. If you say, I'm going to do it later, you've made the choice to not do it now. And sometimes it's appropriate to wait for later for one reason or another. That's okay. But I know for me, I constantly find that the enemy, that Satan, whispers in my ear, just do it later. You'll have time later, Andrew. Figure it out later. You'll engage his word later. And then later never comes, does it? It doesn't come. And so Deuteronomy and Moses and God is saying today, you have a choice. Are we going to engage what God has said to you? You can do it. Today I am giving you that choice. And I know it's impossible. It's impossible to love God. It's impossible to obey him fully if we're not engaging his words, because he has spoken to us and it is right here. And I know sometimes that is difficult and it is hard to think about this discipline that maybe we've gotten away from, but it is so important. Jesus tells us in Matthew 4, he is actually quoting Deuteronomy. He says, you know, man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word out of the mouth of the Lord. That this is like food for our souls. And just as though we wouldn't go a day without eating or we wouldn't miss too many meals, we shouldn't miss spiritual meals either. We wouldn't let other people eat our food for us. We need to eat it. We have to engage God's word on our own, as if our lives depended on it. Now, again, I know that's hard. And for me personally, I can only speak to my experience. Kind of an occupational hazard I have is to engage and digest God's word, not for me, but for you. And so I have a tendency to read scripture and try to think about how it'll apply to you rather than let it actually apply to me. And that's something that I struggle with and deal with and wrestle with on a regular basis. And I was kind of doing that this week, and I have been starting reading in Psalms since the beginning of the year and the book of Mark. And I was reading through Mark, and I read the Gospel of Mark. And I was observing how all of these people were amazed, it says, amazed at Jesus. They're amazed at his miracles. They're amazed at his teaching. They're amazed at his authority over and over and over again. They're amazed, they're amazed, they're amazed. And then I read in Mark 6:6 that Jesus was amazed. And it caught my attention. I was like, wow, what's Jesus amazed at? Everyone else is amazed at him. And in all the Gospels, it says at one time, Jesus is amazed. And he was amazed at the people's unbelief. And the Holy Spirit just hit me. And I've been wrestling with it all week. Like, is Jesus amazed at me in this negative way? Amazed at my unbelief in 2018, amazed at my unbelief of picking up God's word and really seeking to hear what he has to say for me, not just for you. And that's hit me, and I've been wrestling with that for 3-4 days now. Like, is that true for me, not just the disciples and the people of Galilee who should have believed? And unfortunately, I think it has been true. Do I believe and live and act like my life depends on these words? So if you're with me, if you're with Moses and so many others here on our right and our left today, that you want to engage God's word in a fresh way this year, how can we do that? How can we do that? Well, I think there are some good answers as we keep reading in verse 20. It says, you can make this choice. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, by obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. this, God's word, is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So I think he tells us very simply a couple things that are super helpful. He says, first, it's so important to love the Lord your God. That this is how you make this choice. If you want to engage God and engage his word, you have to love him. Now, you can't just do it because it's a checklist. You can't just do it because you feel guilty. You can't just do it because Andrew told you to today. So this year, I'm going to read it every day, by golly. Or you can't do it because when you look to your right and to your left, you think, well, good Christians are supposed to read God's word, so I guess I'll do it this year. That motivation will help you read it about twice this week, and then you'll quit. We have to do it and engage it genuinely because we love God, because he's changed our life. And I know for me, I love a good checklist. I love making a list of things to do and checking those boxes. It makes me feel really good. But I have to do it because I love God. This isn't a self-help book. And I know that's a dangerous trap for us. I just read recently in Forbes, they looked at some data from the 2000s, and they said mostly every year there's about $10 billion spent in America on self-help books. And some of them are helpful and some of them are not. This is not that. There are certainly things that are helpful in it. But more than anything, it's getting to know God, getting to know his heart, and interacting with him. That is what this book is about. It's not about the secrets to life. It's about getting to know God. And when we do, and we want to live his way, then it becomes that key to life. Not about secret things that Christians do that other people don't do. Second, it says right here, we love God and then we obey him. Again, it's not about guilt motivation or shame motivation. And if you feel that, maybe that's the Holy Spirit today, but it shouldn't stay there. It's out of love that we should read this and we should want to obey God. That's what the scriptures say here, that we might love the Lord your God and obey him. That is the motivation that we come to the scriptures. And then thirdly, it says, commit yourself firmly to him. That you just need to make a commitment. And I would say it this way, make a plan. Make an actual date. Make a specific place and a specific time when you plan on engaging God's word. Because when you do that, you're going to be much more likely to actually read it. Like, put a date on your calendar at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. or 10 p.m. or whenever it is, I engage God in a specific chair or a specific seat or whatever it may be for you. And haphazard can work. It doesn't work for me. But make a plan and commit yourself firmly and make a goal. And maybe for you, it's different. You know, sometimes some people are in different places. And if you've never really engaged God's word, maybe a couple minutes every day is a huge commitment. Or maybe you've done that and you want to engage it more. So whatever you need to do, just engage it and make a plan and commit to it. As Deuteronomy 30 tells us, commit to him what you would like to do. And then do it. And I know, again, this is hard, but it's very similar to the process of working out, which so many people say that they will do in the beginning of the year. We're going to go work out, we're going to get healthier, and we're going to be stronger, and we're going to build up our muscles. But what you're doing when you're working out is you're actually tearing down your muscles and breaking them down. But then they build up stronger as you work out. And that's the same thing with these habits when we're reading scripture. It's hard, it's a discipline, sometimes it's difficult, but you're building strength and you're strengthening that relationship with God, and you understand more the more that you understand it. And you build when you begin to read it and understand God's word. And I realize that maybe nothing I have said today is new to you. That is very possible. But I know I needed to hear it as I start 2019 for me. Because I know Jesus has been amazed at my unbelief, in my pride, that I've said, I don't need you that much. I need you when I need you. And he's been amazed at me, that I think I'm smart enough and talented enough and wise enough or pastor enough to get by without his words being the very bedrock with which I approach my life. And so I wanted to give all of you a practical way to work through Scripture as we close today. Five simple things that I think that we should do. It's just a suggestion. I know we can engage it differently. But five things that I found that are super helpful to do this year. It's from an article from a Scott Saul's blog, who's a pastor, who took it from Tim Keller, who's a famous pastor, who took it probably from somebody else and somebody else. In other words, these five things are very well used and well loved and good practice. And you can find the link to these five things, if you don't get them down, on our Facebook page, our Hamilton North Facebook page. So you can check that out. And if you haven't, go ahead and like that. Spread the word about us around. But you'll find that article there. First, very simple. If you're going to engage and you want to engage God's word as if your life depends on it, the first thing you should do is ask God to meet you. Ask the Holy Spirit to show up. That's the first thing that you should do. Take 5 seconds and just pray. God, speak through your Holy Spirit to me, through your word. That's it. Take 5 seconds, 3 seconds, because John chapter 14 says this. Verse 26, when the teach you everything and will remind you of everything that I have told you. That it's actually the Holy Spirit who's going to teach you through God's word. It's him that needs to be active when we're engaging it. So just ask him, and that will raise your awareness of the Holy Spirit in that situation when you're opening his word. Just ask God to be present. And secondly, very simple, read it. Observe it. You know, again, like I said, K-Love, sermons, devotionals, music that you love, all those things are wonderful. Do those things. But there's no substitute for the words of God. We have to actually pick a place and read it. And if you're asking me, where should I go? I don't really know where to go. Well, we can ask our friends, ask me, ask anybody. We'd love to direct you where maybe would be a good place for you to go, but pick anywhere. As we said, 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's all Scripture. Any of it would be perfect place for you to start. So open it up and pick a place to start and read. I already told you, but I like to read an Old Testament chapter and a New Testament chapter. And right now I said I am in Psalms and I'm in the book of Mark. And that's what I'm doing right now because I like to kind of have a mixture there. So just pick a place. And when you're reading it, I think having a piece of paper, a journal, a notebook, something there to write down what you're seeing, to engage it, to interact with it. Just write down questions. Write down what you're seeing. Write down your observations of what you find in the text. And that works. You can read it on your phone. There's YouVersion Bible apps. The Bible app has lots of great plans. One I think is very helpful and very accessible is there's a 180-day New Testament reading plan. You can do that. Anybody in here can read the New Testament in 180 days. And even if you miss a day, it's okay. Continue to engage it. Don't get discouraged. Third, meditate. And I know that is kind of a churchy word, but it's really a simple word. It just means think about it. It just means ponder and consider the words that you're reading. You have to think about it. You can't just plow through the words. You have to think about the implications and meditate on God's word. Like I said, I'm reading through Psalms, and I read Psalm chapter 1, verse 2 a couple days ago, and it says, the righteous, they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night, that God's people, righteous people, good people, think about God's word. That's what they do. And so we should meditate on God's word. And fourth, very simple again, we have to do this because we don't just read it to read it. We read it to apply it to our life. That's the fourth thing, is apply. We do this to actually change. If this really is the key, we read it to change our life. If you see something that you need to change, whether that's something that you need to change how you think or that you say or what you do or a circumstance or to be encouraged, you know, apply it to your life. That is part of it, that if we see those connections and we're using this key, we will change. And we need to apply it and actually implement it in our life. And fifth, I know I already said pray, ask God to be present, but I would pray again. And I would just pray and ask God anything that's on your heart. You could pray and thank him. You could repent of sins that you feel convicted about as you're reading scripture. You could ask him things that are on your heart and on your mind. Maybe use that journal or notebook that you had where you're writing observations previously. And just get it out there. And spend some time in that relationship with him, because it matters that we do this in the context of loving God. And it's so important to do that. And I do believe that if you do that, that these words will come alive as they actually are in your life. They will come alive. And the article stops there, but I would add one more thing. I would add a sixth thing. Because I know I fail so often when I do something on my own. I would do it with somebody else. Maybe it's someone in your home that you could challenge each other and say, let's do this together. And you have some accountability there, an encouraging accountability. Do it with somebody. And maybe you have a small group of people that you're doing this with. And we have a wonderful opportunity, as we've said, that we want everybody in here to be in a small group of people that says we're here together to grow in our relationship with Christ. And so as we're launching these alpha groups and small groups, it's a perfect time to jump in. We have groups that are existing that say we have a couple more spots available, and forming new groups of people that haven't been in groups yet. And we want you to be with other people that say, we want to follow God and do it together. It's a great time to jump in and do this with one another. And so as you reflect and as you think about 2018, and maybe you've already done all your reflections, and I'm not talking about New Year's resolutions per se, but the natural place in our life at the end of a year to say, how did that go? And as we look forward, I think this question, do you know why we read the Bible? I hope that you understand it is so simple. It's not because we have to. It's not because you should be guilted or shamed if you've been a bad Christian and you haven't been reading your Bible. That's not what it's about at all. It's about the fact that this is God's word, and we have access to it. And we can choose to read it. And we believe that it really is the key to our lives. And I know for me that if I think about that and I dwell on that, if I make 2019 the year where I really believe that, I can only imagine what God is going to do in my life, in my family's life, and in the life of our church if we engage God's word as if our lives depended on it. Let me pray for you guys. Heavenly Father, we come to you today so thankful that you didn't leave us in the dark, that you sent your Son who lived out your word so perfectly that we know what it looks like to follow you. And that we know that you don't sit back and condemn us, God, for not being good enough. But we know that you love us and that you're waiting for us to engage you. God, I thank you that you've given us your words that bring life to us. And I pray that you would motivate each one of us to have that internal motivation, motivated by a loving relationship with you and your son, Jesus, that we would engage your words this year, that we would make a plan to do it, and that we would do it. And I pray that that would transform and change our congregation, that it would change this community powerfully as we do it. God, we thank you for making your word so accessible that we have it in our hands. God, we have so much to be grateful for as we look towards 2019. We love you and thank you and pray this in your name. Amen.